And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and Guy Rowe. In this episode, we're going to be discussing the crazy 4-4 draw for Fulham against Wolves at Molineux. At the end of the show, we're going to preview the upcoming match for Fulham against Rotherham United. But before we do anything else, I have to welcome my two co-hosts. We're both at Molineux yesterday to talk about this match first. Guy, how you doing?
I'm good, Russ. Yeah, like you said, crazy, crazy match. Eager to talk about it, for better or for worse, but let's get on with it, yeah.
Okay, very good. Mr. Gregg, how are you doing? Did you survive the rain at Molineux?
Yes, I did. I think, like everyone, I was drenched by the time I got back to the station. But, I'm looking forward to talking about it. It was a really interesting game to watch, and it's going to be about talking about it as well. And it had a bit of everything, really.
Okay, very good, guys. And just want to mention this up front. Unfortunately, by the time we were starting this recording, the 90 minutes of the match was not available. It just became available as we were just about to start the recording. So I did not watch this. So I'm going to be depending on the two of you to really set the picture and be my eyes for this match. And I have a feeling you guys both have a lot to share. I'm also going to be sharing some thoughts from a Fulham supporter who sent me his game summary, and get your thoughts on what he had to share as well. But let's start from the beginning. Let's just get our opening thoughts on what you guys watched. Mike, I'll start with you. Let's talk about this crazy 4-4 draw.
Yeah, well, it was very much a game of the good, the bad, and the ugly, really, from Fulham. But, what do we go to football for? It's to be entertained. It's to watch your own team, hopefully win a game. It's to mix with other fans and friends, and yesterday's game was the championship really summed up in one game. We're one of the better teams. Wolves haven't been doing that well yet. We walk away from a game we should have won easily, but end up scraping away with a last minute equaliser. But there were times yesterday when we played, and having spoken to a couple of others, as good a football at times as since I've seen when Tig and I was manager. It was that good. Lacks maybe some of the fluency and certainly the defensive element, but the way we're passing the ball around from front to back, quick passing at times, we could have been, we could have 5, 6, 7 goals, the way we were playing at one stage. And but then, our defensive frailties from last season came back. And, so questions have to be asked in that area. But, looking at the reaction yesterday from the more sensible, level-headed people, shall we say, it's exactly that. There was a lot of good stuff. There was some bad stuff. But overall this season, we've progressed and, we can move forward in hope that certainly a playoff place is possible. But yeah, yesterday's game was great entertainment, totally frustrating, but I've come away happy in some elements of it, but we need to improve and make changes elsewhere.
Okay, very good, Mike. I guess it's safe to say this is 2 points dropped.
Yeah, it is. I mean, as we talk about the game, there are times, there was one yesterday we could have been 2-0 down quite easily before Johansson scored. So, but then to go 3-1 up and have chances to make it, like I say, 4 or 5, and then to go behind, get the point back. It's not a point saved. It is 2 points dropped, clearly. Disappointing overall in that sense. But there's also the resilience of fighting and coming back and getting that draw where in the past, heads would have dropped completely and we wouldn't have even got in their box.
See, Mike, that's a great point, and that's something that I definitely want you guys to talk about. The end of the match, going down 4-3. At that point, if I look at history from Fulham and near history, the match would have been over, but they kept fighting and they got that equalizer at the very end. And that's a positive to take out of this. And I know it might get lost a little bit because of the fact that we blew the lead, but to get the equalizer and stoppage time is something to, to talk about it and something to say, at least they showed that resiliency in the end. So I'm look forward to talking about the, especially the second half. We'll get the second half and talking about that moment. Guy, over to you. Your opening thoughts about what you watched at Molineux.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, as you said, 2 points dropped. It was a weird game to watch. Obviously, great entertainment value, as we said already. You know, going 1-0 down and then putting three past them in what felt like really short time. It was great. The second half, I think we had some chances to make it 4-1 before that, and then, you know, we let them get one back and kind of lost it almost. And I don't think we controlled the second half at all, really. Apart, you know, we had like maybe 10 minutes spell at the start where we had a couple more chances, but it really was a deflating second half performance for me. And obviously, when they get two more goals and even take the lead, it's hard to take. And it's a really relieving feeling to at least get a point out of a match that played out like that.
Yeah, listen, I'm glad that you put that at the end. To get something out of it, it would have been horrible not to get anything out of it. I just watched Beyond the Mic with Gentleman Jim, and that's something that he was talking about, that to walk away from Molineux with nothing would have been horrible. So to get that in the end is something, and that's obviously something that we need to talk about while we go through the show. But obviously, we also have to talk about, as Mike said, there's good, there's bad, and there is serious ugly. So let's move on. And like I mentioned, I have a game summary here from a Fulham supporter, Stuart Roberts, who was at Molineux as well. So I thought instead of going through the manager's reaction, I would share what Stuart had to share with me and then get your thoughts on it. And then we could talk about it, see if his view matches up with what you guys saw at Molineux. So here is from Stuart Roberts that he emailed to me, and we'll go through it. And let's start right here. This is what Stuart sent me. Excellent game for the neutral, almost like a basketball game. It was so end-to-end. Wolves should have been buried if we had taken our chances, but the game was so open, we needed the fourth goal at the start of the second half to kill them off. Their second goal gave them belief, and from there, it was anyone's game. We were excellent with the ball and could have and should have scored more than four. Seriously, we should have scored six and could have easily scored 10. That said, Wolves had plenty of chances, and we were open at the back. With our fullbacks playing as wingers, we just can't afford to have a weak players like Ream playing, especially when the opposition are so direct and powerful. Wolves are not a great team, but are quick and strong, especially on the counterattack, and Ream can't cope. We lack aerial ability and never threatened from numerous corners while Ream was bullied, and we went 1-0 against the run of play from Wolves' first corner. We are a couple players away from being the best in the league. We need a dominant central defender and a striker to replace Martin when needs arise. Yesterday, when Wolves started to put us under pressure, we were catching them on the break, but Martin lacked the speed to trouble them. A quick replacement with an eye for goal at that time would have been perfect. It was a hugely exciting game, and the players gave their all. Wolves fans knew they're a little lucky, but they're no mugs, and the Wolves team gave everything to rescue a point. Yes, Fulham should have put them away, but football is not like that. We have an exciting team still developing. Khan needs to support Jokanović in the transfer market, and a central defender and a striker are our main needs. Okay, that's a good amount that Stuart had to share to me. Mike, what did you take out of the information I just shared from you, from fellow Fulham supporter Stuart Roberts?
Yeah, well, it was an excellent game for the neutrals, but it was an excellent game if you're a football fan, and basketball was a good analogy for that game. You know, last week when we had about 70% of the game inside the red and half. I mean, I haven't checked today, but, you know, yesterday must have been 50-50 because it was two teams who were quite open at both ends. I mean, I'm sure you've watched the 6 or 7 minute highlights that were on Russ, and you can see the chances they had and we had, even at 0-0 and throughout the game. And there's a lot more. I mean, in total, I think there was 45 shots yesterday. I mean, you know, that's one every other minute. So there was certainly no defensive attitude to the game from both sides from the off. And I thought Wolves were quite dangerous to begin with. And yes, they took the lead, but then we showed our class, I think, up to about 60 minutes. And then, you know, I tweeted around that time, I was a bit worried about Fredericks and his fitness. And we just, their crowd started, you know, lifting the players. And Lambert, give him his due, he didn't decide to sort of, damage limitation. He got his players going forward and attacking, and it was a lively atmosphere. And you could sense certainly the second goal coming. We really needed that fourth to kill him off, and we didn't take it. But, you know, Martin, I've seen Martin come in for a lot of criticism. I'm not sure what Guy's view on him was, but, okay, he didn't have his best game yesterday, but he's turned into one of these chalk and cheese players, really, isn't it? You know, you either like him or you don't, or you understand what he brings to the team. Ream definitely was a mistake for one of the goals, that's for sure. But there were other defenders as well who made mistakes yesterday. So the midfield, I thought at times, were excellent. But he's fair overall. But then Stuart is quite a level-headed person. He will, you know, he's been around. He knows when he's watching a decent game and when he's watching a decent team as well. And that's what Fulham are. It's just that, yesterday Wolves upped their game and, got back into it, and we let it slip. And so we didn't control the game around the hour mark. And that's disappointing. But yeah, I tend to agree pretty much with Stuart word for word.
Okay, let's go back, because Stuart was really getting after Tim Ream. You said that there are others that that you could talk about as well defensively. Just share a little bit more about Ream in this match, because, again, I have not seen it, so I definitely want your feedback on what you watched from Tim Ream in this match.
I think Tim Ream's an easy choice to go at. He's, you know, whoever the fourth defender is now, and by that I mean the second choice centre-back, be it him, be it Maddell, be it Sigurdsson. Ream is seen as the player to blame. And, you know, to be fair, he was out-jumped for the first goal, that's for sure. And, Kallis, you could argue, was a mistake possibly for their second. And, the last one, you know, gets in between Ream, Malone and Button. You know, Button's to blame as well for the first. And, you know, so, yes, he didn't play that well. And I tell you what it reminded me of, which is last year. You know, Ream is a decent footballer. And as some people have said, he's probably in the team because of his passing. His passing yesterday at times wasn't that bad. But I think, and I said after the game, it was one of Button's games where you felt nervous. And that translates to the crowd. And I think it translates to the to the defence. So you were never, ever confident when the ball was going back to Button. And I say it goes back to last year, because when we had, you know, Lonergan or Bettinelli in goal or you know, even Lewis, when those, you know, Ream was one of those centre-backs who last year, he was poor at times, along with Stearman, along with Byrne, Hutchison, take your pick. And maybe when he doesn't have a goalkeeper behind him, and he's making him nervous, maybe he gets nervous as well, and his cool head disappears. But just remember, he played well last week as well. You know, it wasn't a good performance by Ream, but I'm not going to. He wasn't the total reason, why we let him four goals yesterday. It was team defending for me. Was bad at times. Was very bad. And we can talk about individuals a bit more later. Like I say, I mean, Fredericks, second half, and Guy may have noticed this. The trouble with Fredericks is, after an hour, if he has a run forward, he can't get back. And so that leaves Kearney yesterday, happened to be the man to go. And he's just jogging back. And that leaves you a bit short. So I was looking, you're seeing Kallis, he's not sure. He's got two players to mark, you know, waiting for someone to come and back him up. So there were issues yesterday which I think could have been dealt with at 3-1. But we didn't manage the game well enough.
Okay, very good. And I'm glad that you talked about it as a team defense, because there were breakdowns there, Mike. And as you talk about Tim Ream, it's funny because while you were talking about it, I was thinking about the situation in the Aston Villa match with David Button, and I believe you tweeted out that he looked nervous. I could be wrong, Mike. Didn't you tweet that out as well, talking about Button?
Yeah, it was just, to be fair, over the last four or five games, no one's mentioned the keeper really because we've done fairly well. But Button obviously lapses in some games where he suddenly becomes the nervous person. Every ball going back to him, God, is he going to kick it in the air? Is it going to go out of play? Is he going to catch it? I mean, his mistake, which almost led to the second goal, what was he doing there? And I heard Gentleman Jim's commentary that, was it the pitch? It wasn't. He dropped the ball, and there was nothing wrong with a header back by Ream from my point of view as somebody who's played that kind of position. So yeah, it translated to the crowd, the away fans yesterday. No one was confident with Button at all, and yeah, it was one of those games for him really.
Okay, very good. Guy, over to you. Thoughts on what we're talking about here, the thoughts of Stuart Roberts, and also what Mike had to share here.
Was it went from Stewart's summary? The first thing I take away is his quote saying we're a couple players away from being the best in the league. We're not really. Like I definitely think we're a couple players away from playoffs and making a solid push for it. I'm definitely optimistic with our team, but in terms of a team, Newcastle unbeatable in terms of like the players, but they've just thrown money at the problem and it's worked out for them, I'll be honest. Say what you like about their fans, they have undoubtedly, at least in my opinion, the best team in the league. No, the match as a whole, a lot of what Stuart said matched up to what I saw. And Tim Ream, I don't know whether or not to feel sorry for him because I feel like he is becoming a bit of a scapegoat because he's kind of the standout defender who we tend to associate our defensive problems with. And it was, he didn't have his best game, was it the header that David Button spilled? At least, yeah, was it? I off air I complained a bit about it. But looking at it, there's only so much you can do in that position. And I think, was it Jim or Jamie mentioned, thankfully he headed the ball away from goal and not straight at David Button, because if he spilled it there, it's even easier for Dicko. But no, our defense just poor in general, really. David Button, I've never trusted him with the ball at his feet or just in general. I think he's sloppy sometimes. Again, off air, I was saying how much of a fan I am of Bettinelli, and I honestly don't know the reason for his absence from the starting 11. I think it's time that we at least give him a chance. I might be a bit biased for that, but I really don't trust David Button. And we saw it at the Villa game when he has the ball at his feet, he gets shaky. Yeah, pretty
Okay.
much.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, real quick, let's talk about the starting 11, and Mike, I'll go back to you. Now, it's funny because I personally, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it in the U.S. I'm looking at far away. I'm thinking starting 11 is okay. Maybe Ragnar Sigurdsson instead of Ream, but Ream, like you said, played well. What were your thoughts? I'm talking about in the prior match. What were your thoughts when you thought the starting 11? Were you fine with it?
Yeah, I was fine. I mean, lots of people talk about keeping a settled side and don't changing it. And of course, they always put a caveat in if there's a player they don't like, they would drop him. But a team wins 5-0 like they did, and why make a change? My surprise from the actual squad was that Smith wasn't in the
That's a good point.
on the subs bench. Now, everyone knows I'm not Smith's best fan. But he has been the sub quite consistently, so I was a bit concerned that on the bench you've only got Pearson on really as a who is a striker. You could argue that Cabano and Aluko and Aiti even can play in that central role. But I was surprised at that, a little bit disappointed. Again, we've gone, he's consistently going with three defenders on the bench. And of course, Maddle disappeared again, and Sergesen comes in, which is, and this is what surprised me when people are talking about making changes. Where's Maddle? Why, let's hope he starts against Rotherham. I mean, why do people think he's going to start against Rotherham when he's not even on the bench and he gets dropped? It's obvious that the Maddle, for whatever reason, is fourth choice now. So as a centre back. So yeah, that was my surprise. I would like another attack, another attacker on the bench. I would probably have sacrificed a Doey or Session on one of those two. To have Smith on the bench probably. But yeah, I wasn't at all shocked by the 11. And quite frankly, if he'd made a change, it would have only been for an injury, surely. But I think we'll see some changes Tuesday, that's for sure.
Okay, very good. Guy, over to you. Thoughts on the starting 11, and I could say the full 18, because Mike brings up a good point. Matt Smith was not involved, and Gentleman Jim actually mentioned he was surprised by that might have been an option in this game, the way the match was going. But he was not in the 18. So thoughts on, I guess you could say, the 18 instead of just the starting 11?
Yeah, the starting 11, I said it in my in the last show I was on, the Brighton post-match show, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right. I stand by that. Off of a 5-0 thrashing of third in the league, I don't really have any complaints about the team. Obviously, when it played out as it did, you can question who's on the bench and the subs and when they were made and what was running through Slavisa's head when he put them on. But Matt Smith was, I heard his name mentioned a few times in the stands. I think, was it the Stoke match yesterday? Peter Crouch came off the bench and tested Petacek literally second on the pitch. Was it people were saying, you'd want a big man like Matt Smith in the box when you're searching for a last minute equaliser, and we thankfully had Aite to head the ball in. But no, Matt Smith, I honestly don't know why he wasn't there. I would have him there just for that option. But the whole starting 11 and bench, other than Matt Smith, I couldn't really complain that much.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, let's now get into the match. Let's go into the first half. I'm just going to mention some of the key moments, and you guys can share your thoughts on the first half. Let's start here. Just say Fulham started very strong. They did. They started strong, but Wolves take the lead early on in the 21st minute with a goal by Courtney House, and it comes off of a corner. Then we move on to the 32nd minute. Fulham get the equalizer with a wonderful goal by Stefan Johansson. That is followed up 7 minutes later. Floyd Aite scores on a header, set up with a cross by Ryan Fredericks. And then in the 42nd minute, you have possibly the goal of the season from Tom Kearney. Scores a tremendous goal set up by Stefan Johansson. Wonderful, wonderful situation here, and a wonderful goal by Tom Kearney. Fulham go into the half up 3-1. And I'm going to share with you the halftime stats, because I think that they're revealing as well. I have full-time stats, but here are the halftime stats. Possession, Fulham had 69% to 31%. Total shots, 12-6 in favor of Fulham. On target, 5-1 in favor of Fulham. Corners, 5-3 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 18-7 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, 10-8 in favor of Wolves. Attempted passes, 287 to 133 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 138 to 41 in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy, a stat I know you like, Mike, 81% for Fulham, 63%. For Wolves, accurate passes, 233 to 84 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels, 15-8 in favor of Wolves. And falls, 7-1 in favor of Wolves. All right, Mike, I'm going to start with you. I just gave you just some information about the first half. Give me your observations of the first half.
Yeah, okay. So the game started. It was quite open. They had a couple of chances early on, and you know, we had some corners as well, and I wasn't totally shocked that they took the lead, but it was a disappointing goal to let in. I mean, you know, cross comes in, header down, Ring gets beaten, but Button has to do better. You know, any goalkeeper, you know, letting the ball go under him like that. It's, you know, it was disappointing because we've been playing well. But, you know, I still felt confident we were going to score and do something in the game. But, you know, it almost went 2-0 with the head back from Ream. And as Guy says, you know, he heads it. The Button's left inside the 18-yard box. It's the right thing to do. And, you know, Button for somehow spills it. The striker's there. And he really should have scored. And he puts the ball across the goal. And, you know, that's a real escape. And then, you know, what was it, 30 seconds later, we equalised. Lovely goal by Johansson. Frederick's pulling back. But if you watch the build-up, you know, from the moment they have their chance, you know, Johansson's involved very early on, so you know he gets on the end of it. He, you know, makes it 1-1. We continue to have chances, and then you know, Aluka does well. Frederick's again gets across, and Aiti, you know, big centre forward header.
Yeah, that's great.
At the far post, and you know, it's 2-1, and we're back. We're dominant. We're passing the ball around well. You know, McDonald's bossing the game, and everything. Looking good, and then you know, you're thinking, oh, yeah, we can get in half time, we're you know, 2-1, let's get a third. Or, and there were chances, everyone was having chances, you know. But then we get a free kick, and beautiful free kick by Johansson, lovely height for Kenny on the edge of the box, the volley in with his left. I mean, clearly something they would have worked on, but he hit it sweet, and I'll be surprised if there's a better free kick. Like that this weekend, or you know, for a number of weekends. A beautiful goal, and yeah, you know, we're going in at half time 3-1, totally dominant, the crowd's quiet, but there were, as I said earlier, there were times in that first half when we were playing for Luko, you know, McDonald, Aiti, Malone was involved, the midfield, Martin, you know, everyone was involved in some really truly a good football. And you know, they come, and so we're going out half time and very happy. And I didn't really see too much of a downside. It only goes back to what we were saying about Button. You know, when he had the ball, or the ball was going back to him, we were always a little bit nervous, shall we say. So, and to be fair play to Wolves, I thought, you know, a couple of their players, Dicko, I thought was, you know, quite a handful.
I was worried about him, Mike. Honestly, I was worried about him going into the match.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly surprised me. He was involved a lot in all the plays they were involved in. So, you know, I think Guy might back it up. I thought him and the number 50 as well, Carvalho. Oh, yeah.
Cavalero?
Not a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cavalero, yeah. Not a good player. And so, I think they're in a false position a little bit, Wolves, and you know, we'll maybe say something about that later. But you know, Lambert's got them playing a certain way, and I'm a fan of Lambert, as you know, Russ. And you know, 3-1 though, you do really think the game's over. So you know, we're going to half time, everyone's happy.
Okay, before I go to Guy, Mike, I want to go back to the goal by Wolves. I mentioned to you guys before we started recording that I watched the goal cam, and I have to question David Button on this. Do you question him on it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yes, Ream gets beat. There's no doubt about that. It's headed down, which is what you're taught to do. But it's Button's ball. You know, he should be saving that. He looks hesitant. He makes a mistake. And we paid the price. And, you know, it was pretty much downhill for him, you know, all game after that. But, yeah, and you could see the reaction. It was a reaction of the crowd, but also some of the players. I saw a couple of the players just turn away and just, you know, shake their heads, because when a goalkeeper makes a clangor like that, you lose a bit of confidence, be that in a Premier League, a Championship game, or on a, you know, Sunday pitch. So that was a bad mistake by Button. And as I say, last few games he's been quiet, you know, or no one's really mentioned him. He's just bobbed along, just done what he's done. But, you know, a mistake has reared its head in the course of discussions about making a change we can talk about later.
No, trust me, I've seen a good amount of talking about Button on social media. So, yeah, we can definitely talk about that. Guy, over to you, your first half observations, and we'll move to the second half.
Yeah, it was a really open game. You know, it was chances for each team, even before they scored their goal. I thought Iorfa was a danger running down the wing. I think he even, you know, had it, what was it? He played the ball across before Fredericks got to it early on. And, yeah, number 50, Caviero, danger, obviously scored the third goal. Was it? Our play was overall good. You know, showed good character to keep fighting. Even, you know, the second half, we kept fighting after we lost it. But, in the first half, you know, we went right back at them, got a deserved equaliser, and really took the game to them from there. Great goal from Aite, or great header. And it's, you know, based, I said it off air, I smashed my phone celebrating that goal. And, you know, I said in the Brighton show, I was dying for Aite to get his first goal for Fulham. And it shows how much I like him. But, world-class goal from Kenny. I'm trying to think of goals that, at least in the championship, I'm trying to think of goals that
I don't know if there's any better this that. Season. I don't know.
What is it? There was a goal that's come to mind. I think it was Huddersfield against Cardiff. I think it was that in Cardiff. I think there was a good goal at that match. Class goal. I think if it's not a goal of the season or a contender for goal of the season at Fulham, just the club as a whole, you know, it'll take really something special to beat that. All good going in the half time. You know, we're 3-1 up. We're flying. I've got a smashed phone and you know, I had a good beer shower at halftime with the fans as well. So, yeah.
Okay, very good there, Guy. All right, let's now move to the second half. And let's just put it very simply. Fulham had chances to put this match away, to kill the match. There's no question about it. We can just have to go to the 63rd minute. Wolves goalkeeper Harry Burgoyne had a double save first on Kearney and then the follow-up on Aluko. They score here. Match is over, simply. The match is over. I cannot imagine them coming back from that. But to the credit, to the youngster's credit, he made two very good saves, kept his team in the match. And then, unfortunately for Fulham, Wolves get the second to make it 3-2 by Matt Doherty in the 65th minute. That's followed up with truly a really good goal by Cavalera, like you guys mentioned, the 73rd minute, and that makes it 3-3. But what's funny is, From the 73rd minute up to the point where they get their fourth, Fulham definitely had their opportunities. They seem like they were in the ascendancy. I, you know, again, I'm listening to it. You guys are there. It felt, listening to it, that maybe we were going to get the match winner. But unfortunately for Fulham, in the 89th minute, David Edwards scores a goal from an incredible angle to make it 4-3, and I'm sure the place erupted like probably it hasn't in a very long time. They're up 4-3. Now here comes the situation where I've seen too many times Fulham end up losing the match. But it did not happen in this match. They kept digging. And in the third minute of stoppage time, you have the header from Floyd Ayiti. Two headers, two goals. That's fantastic from Floyd Ayiti to really take this away from Wolves and equalize the match and make it a 4-4 draw. All right, Mike, want your thoughts on the second half. Also, definitely want you to talk about the substitution that Savisa made, bringing on Scott Parker. I thought that was going to solidify everything. What I listened to and what I've seen online, it didn't have that effect. So talk about when Scott Parker came on as well.
Yeah, so, second half comes out, we're all at him. I thought for, 10 minutes, I mean, they came out, the crowd were behind him. So, but I thought we could, ride ride that sort of spell through. And we had chances again, and so for that first 15 minutes, I thought we were doing fine. But then on the hour, around the hour mark, I think Fredericks may have had a chance, and he was struggling to get back. And it was then that I tweeted I felt that maybe I'd look at a change there. Some people will criticise me for this, I know, because he did a lot of good going forward. He was involved in two of the goals as well. But let's remember, his main role is at right back, and you have a responsibility if you're the full back who's playing as, you know, the wing back type role. You have to get back, and I felt he was like he was last year. You know, hit the hour mark, batteries start running out, and he can't run back. And I'm sure Guy would have seen that as well, because it was on our side. You know, that second half, he was struggling to get back, and he also had a shot as well, which was a powder puff shot. Play real good interplay. He's on the keeper, and it's like a back pass to him, you know, because he's shattered. So I would have made a change there, especially. But they kept pushing away Wolves, and had a couple of chances, and then they get that the second goal. Really, I mean, I thought Callis. I mean, let's just mention as well, we had a couple of other chances to make it 4-1 and put the game dead and buried. But second goal, I thought Callis is beaten to it. The third one is a through ball in between. Well, it's difficult. You've got to watch the replay. It's from the left-hand side. It's in between sort of Ream and Malone, who seems to be quite far left. And the ball's into the box. Their striker runs onto it. I thought Malone was a bit slow in getting to it. And he puts the ball in the net, and it's 3-3. Everyone's going mad. And we just, you're just thinking, oh, God, no. But there's still 15 minutes left, and we still had more chances. And, although our play was nowhere near as good as it was first half, sort of our passing, we were still involved, and we could have taken the lead any time. But then on 90 minutes, somehow they scrambled that goal. They squeeze it. I mean, I've watched the replay, and I have no idea how they got it in between the posts, in between Malone and Ream, and then you've got also Button there, and any cold goalkeeper should not be beaten at that angle, at their near post. So, and you think it's all over, but then even for the 5 minutes injury time before we got the equaliser, we had a couple of other chances, and even had a chance to win it after Aiti, got the header. So overall, very disappointing. As I said earlier, our management of the game was poor at 3-1. We are an attacking side, and and I don't think we have any other way. I mean, I watched Jokanović's interview on Friday, and he basically said to Sarah, we don't have players to battle for the second ball and play a sort of different kind of style. So we're very much like, an old Ozzy Ardiles used to manage Tottenham, and they used to be an attacking side, and it would be 4-3 and that type of thing. And this is what it feels like. This, maybe this is kind of thing we have to accept. We're going to score lots, but because we have, and if you look at the average positions from yesterday, basically just, four or five attackers and everyone else trying to do some kind of defensive job, we're going to get done sometimes. And yesterday was one of them. But yeah. I mean, overall, defensively over the season, we've not been too bad. I think it's 6 clean sheets. We've got one of the best defences, or we did have until yesterday in the league. So, and we've got an excellent goal difference. So it's not all doom and gloom. It was one of those games. It was a great atmosphere. Wolves fans, as I say, got behind their team. And I think in the end, 4-4, it's 2 points dropped, but it's a fair result. But going on to Parker, I mean, a change needed to be done. I think it was maybe 10 minutes too late. But Parker came on, and he didn't really do as well as he should have done. He didn't bring that leadership. He didn't calm down, and we still seemed a bit too gung-ho. So I think Jokanović has to take some blame for that.
Okay.
He should be able to get players on the pitch, settle them down, and do the most important thing, which is try and get the 3 points. But praise also has to go to the players. They never gave up in that
That's five minutes
of looking for that, well, throughout the game, looking for a winner or looking for the equaliser. And that's a newfound sort of skill that the players have. And, you know, that's one of the plus points from yesterday.
Mike, I'm glad that you talked about that, because the never give up attitude, I think, is important to take out of this. You know, listen, I'm as disappointed as anyone else is. I can imagine everyone leaving the Molyneux, like the two of you, were extremely disappointed. But when you really take a step back and you think about everything that went on and how difficult the championship is, let's just say these matches happen in the championship. And you brought up a good point. We're going to score a good amount of goals. We have the ability to if we're going to play this attacking style. But there might be matches like this, and we're just going to have to figure it out. And hopefully they will learn from this. But in the end, Mike, it's the attitude of the players that I think is a major positive to come out of this. Like you said, they go down a goal. Do they get concerned? No, they actually basically dig in, and then they take it from there. So if there's a major positive to take out of this, and I'll go to Guy and get his thoughts, I want to say an attitude by the players of never giving up.
Yes, I mean, that's it. I mean, I was looking at a stat earlier on, and, you know, I thought, well, how many goals are we letting in late? And, I mean, throughout the season, last 10 minutes, we've let in 4 goals, which isn't bad. You know, I mean, yeah. We've scored seven in the last 10 minutes as well throughout the season. So
pretty
I was
good.
Looking to see if that was a weakness we had, and comparing it to other teams, it's not too bad. So,
no.
You know, we should take heart that yesterday is hopefully just a one-off.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And I hope you're right about that. All right, Guy, back over to you. Your second half observations.
More of the same, really. A very open game. Again, I feel like the reports would say this as well, you know, Wolves were a lot more direct. They attacked us a lot more. Had a lot of pace going forward. Their second goal, I feel like, but well, it's just me, probably someone who has experienced goalkeeping could probably say otherwise. I feel like Barton should come out and go for the ball, and he's kind of let Matt Doherty put it past him. That's just my thought of it. But the third goal is one of those goals where you know, the through ball's cut us apart, and Malone needs to get a tackle spot on. Otherwise, it's going to be a red, a penalty, and worse off for the rest of the team. You know, it's a great run, and, you know, credit to the lad. It's a great finish. I just feel like if, you know, Malone, who we've seen this season, if he lunges in, can be a bit worrying. But, you know, if he's going to go for anything, he's got to have it spot on. I'm not sure about, you know, his confidence in that aspect. But, you know, it is what it is. And the fourth goal, I feel like, was it, the lad's gone for a bicycle kick. It's kind of drifted off to the side. And then we have two men kind of following the ball. I feel like one of them's got to go after Edwards. But obviously, once it's done, it's done. Place is rocking, literally. It's mental. You know, we're all like, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, this whole away day was a bit of a piss take for me, because it's laughable for me, at least, because everything that happened to me on the day is like, I lost a tenner on the coach. yeah, I lost a tenner on the coach. I was shitting myself over that. I ran back to the coach park, had a look. Turned out someone handed it in. You know, I got that back, got a program, all that type of stuff. You know, the game was mental as it is. And then they score the fourth goal. I'm like, oh my gosh, this never ends, you know? We get our equalizer. It's, you know, again, it makes this smashed phone worth it. You know, it was brilliant, you know? You know, at least we're not going home empty-handed, really.
That's,
you know, that's the thought I had. And you mentioned the attitude. Definitely. You know, the never say die attitude. You know,
I
I
think that's
like
really
seeing a
important,
team.
Guy. Seriously, I think that's a major change from what we've seen the last few seasons. I think that
Was it
shows you they're heading in the right direction.
The football on five, the football league show. Alec, they had was it Alan Kirby? I don't think it was, but was it one of the co-hosts said? You know, it reminds them of the Fulham of last season. You know, we had Dembele and McCormack banging in the goals, but we leaked way too much last season. And we've tightened up at the back, admittedly. We've definitely tightened up at the back. You know, we have a solid goal difference. And it's great to see that. You know, clean sheets are pretty regular this season. And I feel like, you know, this, hopefully we can write it off, you know, conceding four goals in that manner. But, you know, it is reason to be optimistic when we are all around playing well as a unit. We can I think we're right to expect good things from them this year.
Okay, very good there, my friend. And that's why I really wanted to go through this. Listen, I understand why everyone is disappointed. They should be disappointed. It's 2 points drop. That's why I wanted to say this is definitely 2 points drop. But when you take a look back and you think about it, you think about comparing Fulham to what they were a season ago, 2 seasons ago, it's like night and day. And that is something that we all have to just look at and say, okay, they're making progress here. And, you know, these matches happen in the championship. All teams are dealing with this. Look what's happened to Newcastle. Even Newcastle has dealt with matches like this, you know, that you expect them to roll. But no, it doesn't happen. This league is very difficult. And like Mike said, and I agree with Mike, I think they have a good amount of talent. Talking about Wolves, and I think that I don't think that their place really shows where they're going to be at the end of the season. I think Wolves are going to be much higher up the table than where they are now. They do have some talent. They do have a good manager. They're not going to be 20th. They are definitely not going to be 20th. And you're going to see that. This is not a terrible team. So, again, that's a difficult place to play. So, many factors in this. But I'm glad that we could really talk about this. But let's now go to full-time stats and real quickly. And then so we can wrap up talking about the match and then start our preview of Rotherham United. Full-time stats. Fulham had 63% of the possession to 37% for Wolves. Total shots, 46 total shots between the two teams. 26 for Fulham, 20 for Wolves. On target, 13 for Fulham, 7 for Wolves. Corners, 9-7 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 27-19 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, 20-18 in favor of Wolves. Attempted passes, 535-318 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 272-112 in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy was, I think, 81% at half. Only dipped a little bit to 78% for full time. 61% for Wolves. Accurate passes, 422-196 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels edged by Wolves, 22-19 in fouls. They had 11 and Fulham had 5. All right, Mike, I'm going to go to you. Thoughts on the full time stats? What stands out to you?
Well, I mean, it shows what an open attacking game it was. But I'm going to concentrate just on the goalkeeping one.
Okay.
And, you know, their goalkeeper made 8 saves to Button's 2. Diving saves, he made 6. You know, Button made 1. So, you know, you look at the replay, you look at the highlights, and you will see that we peppered their goal at times. And with better finishing, as I say, Fredericks, Johansson, Aluku, all guilty of powder puff shots for me. And
I saw you tweet that.
Yeah, you know, and it's frustrating. You know, you want people to hammer that ball and hit the back of the net, not pass it back to the keeper. And, you know, you've got to take these chances. But, you know, as I said earlier, 45 shots, you know, across both sides. I mean,
that's crazy.
Pure entertainment-wise, it was great, but it's all tinged with disappointment and anger, and there was a lot of that after the game, as Guy will admit. You know, walking under the stand out into the pissing rain, and you know, a lot of, but it, you know, on reflection, it's what we go to football for, and you know, we are a good team. We're not a top two team. And the stats defensively show that. And you look at what Stuart said, are we two players short of being a good team? I don't think we're two players short. We are possibly two players short of guaranteeing ourselves that top six, you know, that playoff position. Top two are gone. People should forget about that. It's just, let's scrape into the playoffs. That's all I'll be quite happy with that. And so, you know, we need to look at where the team needs improving. And, you know, if we're going to make those playoffs, because we need a bit of consistency, but which we have got in a way. We're getting points every four or five games that we need.
That's right. Yeah.
But we just need... It's just that, I go back to that 10% again, Russ. You know, we've spoken about it all season.
I know, Mike, you mentioned it several times, but you happen to be right about it.
There's just that something missing. Just that something which gets us over the line and puts us in the same class as Newcastle and Brighton results-wise. So it's still down to your kind of to find that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Guy, before I go to you, Mike, I want to go back to you real quick because I saw this tweet from a journalist who was at the match, and I found it interesting. I want to get your thoughts on it. I'm going to read it to you. It's from Mike Taylor. His Twitter account is Mike Taylor Sport. I saw this yesterday, and then someone actually retweeted it. This is what he had to share. And what to make of Fulham? Some of their play was premier quality, but seemed like a car without a clutch. Couldn't change gear. What are your thoughts about that tweet, Mike?
As I say, you know, the football we played at times in the first half was absolutely breathtaking. And, you know, let me know when you've watched the 90 minutes, Russ, what you think of some of that stuff.
I will.
And that it should not, you know, what happened second half, totally disappointing, but it should not distract at how good we were at times in that first half. And, you know, it was a carry on from last week. Premier League, I'm not so sure that. Even if we get promotion, I'm not convinced some of these players are good enough. But I saw someone tweet today, I can't remember who it was, Jokanović's Watford were 1 point better off than we were. Than we are
I
now.
I saw that.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe second half of the season, because I remember Watford had a great run second half of the season once he'd taken over. You know, we've seen improvement, steady improvement by the team since the start of the season. So, you know, a couple of improvements in January. And, you know, there's no reason why this team can't easily make the playoffs.
Okay, very good. I was not aware of that, Mike. Thank you for sharing that, because that kind of puts everything into perspective, mentioning his team with Watford, because I was trying to get a feel for how far off we are from that team. That team went on a roll. I can't imagine Fulham are going to go on that type of role, but I was not aware that we're not that far off from where they were at this time when they went on their run. So very interesting. Guy, over to you. Just for time's sake, I'm going to go right to you. Full-time stats, if you want to mention that real quick. But I want your man of the match, and also I want you to rate Slavisa quickly, because I want to move on to to the preview of Rotherham United.
Yeah, the stats, what stood out for me, again, the goalkeeping, I said it in the chat here, I feel like David Button fails at simple-ish saves a bit too often than he should do. And aerial duels is what stood out, because a bit talk in the stands was, I heard apparently Chris Martin didn't win a single header in their half that match. Just what I've heard, I don't know facts, but... those were the stats that stood out for me. Man of the match, I voted for Kearney just off his performance, especially he stood out to me in injury time, you know, passing the ball, getting it moving and going for the equaliser. I'll probably have him level with Aite just for the two goals. Yeah.
Okay, and how about Slavisa? Give him a rating from 1 to 10.
6. I think we should have had a subs a bit earlier, maybe even a third sub, brought a Doy on or something like that.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Mike, over to you. Your man of the match and also a rating for Slavisa.
My man of the match would actually be McDonald. I thought he ran the game pretty much, you know, all of it, and I didn't see him put too many passes wrong. So for me, he was it was a top-notch performance. Jokanović, I said he could have managed the game better in the second half, and I wasn't totally convinced by his subs. So yeah, I think a six is probably, you know, fair. But it'd be interesting to see what he does for Tuesday, that's for sure. Can I just say, I've just quickly checked, and whoever tweeted that thing about Watford is incorrect.
Oh, wow.
yeah, disappoint everyone. They actually had 32 points from 20 games. We've got 29 from 20. So not that far out, but, you know, just want to make sure everyone, you know, before someone looks it up and comes back at us.
Well, thank you, Mike. So it really is, it's 3 points, but it's not that far off. Like you mentioned, it's just 3 points, but still, it definitely sounded better of only being 1 point, honestly, but still, it's not terrible. It's not terrible because then they went on that serious run. I mean, Watford went on a serious run. Okay. Very interesting. All right, guys, let's now preview 10, 15 minutes on this upcoming match. I'm sorry, God, do you have something you wanted to say?
No, that's just a sigh. That's exhausting talking about this match, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Very good. All right. But let's do a quick preview of this upcoming match on Tuesday night, which every match is vital. I think this is vital. I think this is a match where Fulham should win, need to win. I think they need to beat a team like this. So I'm going to give you some characteristics of Rotherham United to share with some quick information on them. Let's start with the table. After the last match, Fulham are currently 10th in the table. 7 victories, 8 draws, 5 losses. We've scored 34. We've given up 25. We're on a +9 goal differential, and we're on 29 points. Rotherham, who did get a victory yesterday, so you have to give them credit for that. 2 victories, 4 draws, 14 losses. They've scored 20. They've given up 45. They're on a -25 goal differential, and they are on 10 points. Here's some information from WhoScored.com to give you some characteristics of them. Let's start with strengths. Very strong, creating chances using through balls. Strong at creating chances through individual skill. Weaknesses, defending against long shots, defending against skillful players, protecting the lead, aerial duels. They're very weak at keeping possession of the ball, defending against set pieces, defending against attacks down the wings, and they're also very weak defending counterattacks. Style of play, they take a lot of shots, attack through the middle, attack down the left, long balls, attempt crosses often, and they rotate their first 11. Their leading goal scorer is Danny Ward with 8 goals. Another player to look out for would be Isaiah Brown with 3 goals. They recently have been playing a 4-4-1-1, but they've also played a 4-4-2, so keep that in mind. All right, Mike, over to you. Just opening thoughts about this upcoming match against Rotherham United.
Well, I mean, yeah, we should win. It's as simple as that. You know, they're bottom of the table. Doesn't matter. They've changed their manager. They've got to win yesterday. Absolutely no excuses if we are looking for a playoff position. For me, the big thing about this game is, will they be a team that comes and shuts up shop? I think Dave mentioned on the pre-match show that it's a test to see whether we can open them up. I mean, yesterday's game was so open. You know, Reading didn't really defend deep. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting one to see. A test will be, I mean, if you want to talk about it now, is will he drop Button and bring Bettinelli in? You know, the centre-back situation as well. Will we see changes there? Because we're going to have a very, very hard game on Saturday.
Absolutely.
And I would be surprised if he doesn't make a number of changes on Tuesday. And I'm not just talking about the goalkeeper and one centre back. I think he'll make a couple of other ones to keep players fresh because, it's an important game. But even if we bring in a couple of the fringe players, they should be good enough to beat Rotherham. And like I say, there's absolutely no excuses that can be thrown and used. You know, we have to win that game, and that's it, full stop.
Okay, very good there. All right, Guy, over to you. Just opening thoughts on this match.
Yeah, 100%. It is a game we have to win if we're serious about playoffs. You know, we need to beat the teams at the bottom of the table. We need to beat the strugglers convincingly, and we need to get points out of the games from teams that are around us. We, you know, again, it's going to be interesting to see how Rotherham play, and, you know, the preview show, we were talking about, you know, what are we going to be like against a team that comes to the cottage and parks the bus. We saw it against Burton, but now we got a bit of consistency. Now it's going to be a different story.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, right back to you. Who are your key players for Fulham in this match against Rotherham United? Who needs to step up in this match?
Again, I'm expecting changes to the starting 11. I expect Chris Martin to play, as he won't be eligible for Saturday. I'd say he needs to step up, at least just off the back of his performance Saturday. You know, if you know the changes, not just the goalie and centre back. I'd like to see someone like De La Torre come in and make a impression. But Chris Martin, to name one, I think Chris Martin needs to bang a couple in.
Okay, very good guy. That was very interesting. Mike, back over to you. Who are your key players? When I usually talk to you, it's usually central midfielders. Are you going to go there or are you going someplace else?
No, I'm going to go up front because, you know, Rotherham should be a game where we get chances. So key for me is Martin. He will play. I don't see any reason to drop him. And he once again has to prove to some fans his worth. So, for me, it will be Martin. He has to be the key player and, look to either score or, make contribution elsewhere, which is more than some people felt he did yesterday.
Okay, Mike, right back to you. Talking about key player, you have Martin. Both of you have Chris Martin. What do Fulham need to do to win this match? You know, what needs to be the game plan? We don't know what the game plan is going to be from Rotherham United if they park the bus, but what do Fulham need to do to take it to this team, to win this match?
Attacking intensity from the very first kick of the ball, like we did against Reading, and stick to our guns, play the football we have been playing. But if we find a team which is sitting so deep, then I would be looking for Jokanović to tactically make a change if required. And also, the other thing about how can we win the game is simply score first. It's a simple thing. You always want to do it. But let's not make it hard for ourselves and give away a silly goal against the team that's bottom of the division. Let's take it to them. We should be winning this game 4-5-0 again.
Okay, very good, my friend. Guy, over to you. How to Fulham win this match? Do you agree with Mike's assessment there, or is there something else you'd like to add?
Yeah, no. Again, we don't know if they're going to park the bus. If they do, we need to break it. But we need to have another performance like we did at Reading. You know, a consistent, relentless performance. You know, again, we should be smashing these teams at the bottom of the table. Yeah. You know, with the way we're playing, I'm expecting us to smash teams like these.
Okay, very, very good. Very good there, Guy. I'll go right back to you in 1 second. Both want to get your thoughts on the starting 11, but I want to go to Mike first. All right, Mike, what would be your starting 11, and what do you think Savisa is going to go with?
I don't think Button will be dropped. I think he will stay in goal. I think Sigurdsson will come in for Ream. And I think we might see Session on play left back. And possibly Cabano may come in for maybe a Luko. But I'm expecting Cabano to start. But that's the changes I think it might make. I don't think it changed the midfield three. They're so key to us, you know. I'm so pleased for Johansson that he's showing what a player he is. I mean, he got a lot of stick when we signed him. We got a lot of stick.
I remember
when he played those first couple of games, but he's shown what he can do. So, on the fringes, a couple of defenders and a couple of the wider players. I think we might see. But that's it. As for me, what would I do? I'm not convinced that Button is Bettinelli is such an upgrade that everyone thinks. It's one of those cases where a player hasn't been playing and suddenly he's better than what's on the pitch already. But he probably deserves a start. But I think we'll see straight away that he's not such an upgrade, and he has the same issues. He doesn't come off his line, and he's his distribution isn't that much better either, but he probably deserves a chance. And I would play Sigurdsson. I would bring him in for Ream and Sessegnon. So what I said, what I think Jokanović would do, I would do, but I'd keep the rest the same. The front five, really. So because they're doing nothing wrong, you know, really.
Right. Right, Mike, it's funny, you brought up Johansson. I just have to go back to this. Why do you think he was dropped in that match? You know, going back to his first match.
I think it was a fitness issue, but he certainly wasn't the worst player in that half hour. I thought McDonald was. But I think he was probably not enough time training with the team, and we were doing badly, and he thought he was the easiest person to take off. I think it's really as simple as that.
Okay, because he really leaps and bounds from that moment. He's been very good for Fulham, so that's why I wanted to go back and figure out what happened there in the very beginning. And you could be 100% on that. All right, Guy, over to you. Starting 11, your thoughts on the starting 11?
Realistically, I think it's going to be along the lines of what Mike said, you know, just a few changes here and there, you know, the likes of Sessegnon, Sigurdsson, maybe Maddle, you know. No, not a clean sweep. He's not going to change the entire starting 11. What I would do, I would bring in some fringe players, some youngsters. Like I mentioned, I'd want someone like Luca Della Torre to come on and make an impression. I'd want to see people like Christensen get chances, even off the bench, even. But
or realistically, LVC. We haven't seen LVC in a long time.
Where was it? I saw the I went to the West Ham under-23s match, and he impressed me. Yeah, he scored a goal there as well. And I'm going to the match tomorrow as well against Brighton. So, you know, hope to be impressed. If he plays there, you know, he's not going to play on Tuesday. But I'd want players like him, like Bettinelli, like Della Torre. I'd want them in the 18-man squad, if not starting, and at least getting like chances off the bench if they're not starting. I wouldn't change too much, but just give people a chance, really.
Okay, very good. Guy, right back to you. Let's go to your prediction for Tuesday.
Oh, Jesus Christ. because I want us to smash that bus wide open. It'd be like if Donald Trump built the wall, I'd want them to smash it right back down. But I don't know. I want us to smash him. I want another 5-0 or 4-0 or something.
Okay.
But realistically, depending on the team and the play, I'll go for 3-0.
3-0. Okay, very good. Mike, your prediction for Tuesday night?
Yeah, I think we'll score a good number of goals. You know, it's going to be 3 or 4, but I think we'll let one in as well, so we can all be a bit nervous because we're Fulham fans and we need to do it the Fulham way, don't we? So, I think 3-1 will be a good score. It could be, you know, but if we really, really turn it on, then you know, it could be a 4 or 5-0. Rotherham are not a good side, despite picking up a win yesterday. Let's remember who they were playing, and you know. So I'm confident, but let's hope the team, and I'm sure Jokanović won't let them be overconfident. But they should be. There is enough ability there. We shouldn't even be worrying about it. There's enough ability there to wipe the floor of them and move on to Derby on Saturday.
I totally agree there, Mike, and I think this is an important match. You know, going back to what David said, you know, if they do park the bus, this is a great test to see how we break down a team that has that type of approach. So it's going to be interesting because I don't know if that's going to be their approach. They might come to play. So who knows? I hope they do come to play because if they come to play, I think we're going to win like 5 or 6-0. But we shall see. I'm going with 3-0. I'm going with a clean sheet. I think they're going to rebound here. I'm going with a clean sheet. I'm going to say 3-0 to Fulham. All right, guys, let's now finish up by final thoughts. Guy, to you first. Final thoughts before we go.
Final thoughts. It's been an exhausting weekend. just for me personally, I've already said what that away day was like, and the weather didn't help. You know, how I was sweating in that weather before the game is beyond me. But no, overall, there's still a lot of reason to be optimistic. I genuinely think we can do something this season. It's just about consistency, picking up points where we need them, and cracking on, really.
Okay, very good. Mike, over to you. Your final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it was a mad day yesterday. And my message is, you know, take the good things from yesterday. The way we played, the goals we took, and the resilience to actually get back and get the equaliser. You can look at the downside, and that's for David to do if he does a show, you know, or I catch him on Twitter. But, yeah, I mean, overall, disappointing, but we didn't lose, and we didn't lose any ground on sixth place either. So that's important from my point of view, the way I keep a track of the stats. So, let's just get Rotherham out of the way, get the 3 points. And it's a massive, massive game on Saturday. It can't be underestimated how big that game is with Derby.
Absolutely. They're playing very well, Mike. And it's going to be difficult, but I think it's a great test, too. The next two matches are fast. I could go through the next three matches because I think facing Ipswich Town, too, is going to be fascinating. I was thinking about this before we go. I'm not really going to have a final thought. I'm going to have a question for both of you. That's how we're going to end this. To you first, Mike. How many points realistically do you think we can get or should get in these final three matches that would be halfway through the season? What are you looking for from these three matches from Rotherham United, Derby County, and Ipswich Town? What point total would be good for you?
I think you can always look at it. If you come away with games, 2 points a game, so, you know, 6 points from those three games is the minimum I really want. If we can get 7, that will be decent, and 9 is excellent. But I don't want 5, you know. I mean, it needs to be – we need to get 2 wins from those 3 games, whatever way it comes.
Okay, very, very good, and I tend to agree with you there. Guy, your thoughts on that?
Yeah,
how many points in these next 3 matches do you think – well, are you looking for? You know, Mike brought up a good point. 6 points, I agree with him there, but honestly – 7's possible too.
Yeah, exactly the same, pretty much. I agree with both of you. We should be beating Rotherham. What am I saying? Hopefully, we will beat Rotherham. Derby, again, isn't going to be a walk in the park, especially with Chris Martin out. We need other players to step up and perform. Ipswich, I don't know too much about how they're doing this season, but Portman Road is pretty tough place to go from what I've seen. You know, 6-7 points, I'd want 2 wins out of these 3. I'd be unhappy with a draw on Tuesday at least.
Oh, I agree there. I'm with Mike. I think a minimum of 6. If you don't get 6, I think that's a problem. So I say 6, but I'm not ruling anything out, meaning I could see 7. Dare I say, could I see 9? I do agree with Mike, though, the Derby County match is going to be difficult. One of the reasons you just mentioned, Guy, the fact that Chris Martin can't play, that makes it difficult. But it's still a winnable match. It totally is a winnable match for Fulham. That's why all 9 points are in play, my friend. All 9 points. All right, let's wrap up this show. For Guy and Mike, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.